C4. Number 6A.
Today we want to start with the structure of the Christian Science textbook. And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy asked us to think out from the infinite one. That from that infinite one comes one principle. And that principle has an infinite idea, meaning that it has an idea of itself, the idea of principle, which is the idea of science, system, structure, categories, laws. And this principle, the idea of this principle, is illustrated in the textbook, in the 16 chapters of the textbook. Now, when I say 16 chapters of the textbook, I naturally am aware that Mrs. Eddy has 18 chapters in the textbook. That after the 16th chapter, there is a 17th and an 18th. But when we speak about the teaching of the textbook, the whole structure of the textbook, then we must consider the 17th and 18th chapter as appendices, not belonging really to the real teaching of it, to that which makes the structure of the teaching. And we can see that very clearly, because at the end of the 16th chapter, she says, the writer present feeble sense of Christian Science closes with St. John's revelation. For his vision is the acme of this science as the Bible reveals it. Then when she comes to the 17th chapter, she starts writing and says that this chapter is added. And then comes Fruitage, which, you know, is a collection of testimonies of people who have been reading the textbook and show that they have been healed by reading the book. So we have enough authority from the text to see that Mrs. Eddy considered the first 16 chapter as being the body of this principle. So that in considering the structure of the textbook, we just have to investigate the first 16 chapter. The 17th chapter gives, so to say, an addenda, an alphabetic exposition of certain biblical terms, and therefore she calls it that it is added. If we consider these 16 chapters, we can see that these 16 chapters constitute a matrix of 4x4, namely 4 chapters on the Word, 4 chapters on the Christ, 4 chapters on Christianity, and 4 chapters on science. There are two ways in establishing a matrix. We can build up a matrix on the method of induction or on the method of deduction. The method of induction goes out from the given text in the textbook. So it investigates the sentences of the textbook, the chapter of the textbook, and then the whole structure of the textbook from the text. This is how I have written the structure book, namely in that inductive way, investigating what does the text of each chapter mean and say, and from there to arrive really at the matrix. How does one do that in an inductive way? Perhaps interesting to know, in case you later on you try to make matrices from the text of the textbook. What you do, you study the subject within a chapter and make your summary. Therefore, if you have your summary, then you put your findings in the box of the matrix. So you find your summaries in prayer. you put your findings in the box of prayer. Then you go on and investigate your subject, whatever it is, in the second chapter, Atonement and Eucharist, and you put in your findings, and so you fill in the boxes one by one, and finally you have filled in all the 16 boxes, which consist the array of the 4x4 field. Then, when you have done that, you don't have a matrix. You only have your findings arranged in the 4x4 form, chart-wise. In order to see if the findings constitute a matrix, what do you have to do? You have to see if your findings in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 have a common denominator, which you can summarize on the top as the first element of the index I, here on the top, if you find it. If you don't find it, then either your analysis is wrong or the subject does not lend itself to be a matrix. These are the two possibilities. And so you go to chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, and consider your findings, and then you ask yourself, do these four chapters have a common denominator? If so, you can put it up on the top, and the Christ, and then you have a further common denominator. The same way you go with 9, 10, 11, 12, and find a common denominator, then with the last four, 13, 14, 15, and 16, and again, you find a common denominator. Then you have found on the top of your matrix your index. You have found then a very short explanation of the four sides, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. If you have found that, you still don't have a matrix. In order that it is a matrix, you also have to see if your findings horizontally have a common denominator. So you would have to investigate, are your findings of chapter 1, 5, 9, 13, that's the horizontal, have they a common denominator? And if so, you can put it in here on the side under the word. On the left-hand side under the word. The same you do with the second horizontal, chapter 2, 6, 10, 14, and find a common denominator, if there is. So you proceed with the third horizontal, then with the fourth horizontal. And if your findings should lend themselves for finding also a common denominator horizontally, then you still don't have yet a complete matrix. You would have to see if the findings you have on the top here, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, have a common denominator. For instance, if they have a common denominator that they are all expressing, say, the level of absolute Christian Science, or like here on the side, if the index J has a common denominator, for instance, Christian Science level. Only when you have that, when those two indices have a common denominator again, you can say, I found a matrix. So, can you see what was happening when we were studying the textbook and trying to find its layout, its structure, that this is a step-by-step procedure. It's not something that you can just do in one go, but that it takes quite a few steps, one by one, but every step must be made methodologically. No, you say it differently. Methodically. And methodically, so that step by step you arrive finally at the at a good, meaningful matrix. That's the inductive way which we have used, but we can ask ourselves, what is the method that Mrs. Eddy used? She didn't have a text. She had to write the text. She had to use a completely different method, namely the method of deduction, which in her case was the method of revelation. Namely, she had to go the other way around. She had to go exactly from the opposite angle, namely that she had first to know what are the columns here, the vertical columns on the top, what is the index I, what is the index J on the side. And when she had those clear, then she could put the chapters into the proper order. So her vision was the revelation of the one principle that had an infinite idea. And that idea she began to perceive as years went on, always better and better in its science, and therefore she changed the order of the chapters over and over and over. We must remember that first she didn't have 16 chapters, only as she went along from the first edition to the second to the third and to the main revisions, the sixth main revision, the 16th main revision, the 50th main revision. Only with the 50th, late in 1891, therefore quite a few years after her first edition, she had for the first time 16 chapters. Only in 1891. But even then, when she had all the 16 chapters, she didn't yet give the perfect structure of being, because the order of the chapters were not within that structure. And only at the beginning of this century, 1902, she changed the order of the chapters into the order in which we have them today. Therefore, it took her from 1875 until 1902. How much is that? That's 27 years. In order just to build that wonderful structure of the textbook. Again, you can see it was not just a momentary revelation and that was the end of all, but it was a glimpse at first, a terrific light at first, and then trying to express that light clearer and clearer, polish it, and restructuring, and only round about 1902 we had the structure as it is today. So we can see that she must have been led by the one principle and by the structure of that one principle to present her subject and therefore use the deductive way. And I would like to spend the whole day today with you and try if we could also somehow define what each chapter must present, what should be the content of each chapter, and what would be the order of the chapters. If we know, that's our own presupposition, if we would know that the divine principle operates as the four in divine science, as the four in absolute Christian science. So we have the category of absolute Christian science, I come back to it, and the four in Christian science, here on the side. And if we only would have that frame and 16 open boxes, this would be the work of today, to see if with a knowledge of the four, and with a knowledge of the differentiation between absolute Christian science and Christian science, or between, let's just say, the absolute sense of the four and the relative sense and office of the four, we could define the message of each chapter. And in this way, deductively, establish a matrix of the textbook. So, before I do that, I want to reinforce in our consciousness the characteristics of a matrix. So I just quickly recapitulate. Yes, what we did last year in regard to the meaning of a matrix. I quickly read two definitions of matrix. The one that is the simplest is, a matrix is an arrangement of values in columns and lines. It's arrangement of values in columns. Columns are always those which are vertically. A column always is vertical. In columns, these are the verticals. And in lines, a line is always horizontal. So here, horizontally, we have lines. Or another definition, a matrix is a schematic model of order. So we can see that the matrix is something very orderly and we lead thought very orderly. It has columns and lines, again, which are constructed according to definite rules. And this is the point, the essential requirement is that all the elements in a column or in a line possess a common characteristic. That's what we have been saying before, that all those boxes within a vertical column have a common characteristic which we write on the top. And all the horizontal chapters have a common characteristic, so that we write it on the side, on the left-hand side, as the characteristics of the horizontal. So we always have to know and keep in mind that we have to think in categories of horizontals or columns, and we have to think in categories of horizontals or lines. You see, we begin now to think in categories, no more in parts and bits and pieces. The main thing is now to always keep a pedal note, a spiritual pedal note in our spiritual ear, so that we always lead thought first dominated by the common characteristic before we consider the various boxes and see what their place value is. I quickly summarize some of the purposes of a matrix. A matrix is important for categorical, relational, and structural thinking. So if we present the subject in a matrix, we know that this is a means of helping us to get away from the atomistic thinking and train us into thinking in categories, in relations, in structure. And this we'll do for the rest of the week to see if we can train ourselves in this way. Another purpose of a matrix is that the matrix is a means to the most economic representation. So a matrix is a terrific help for the student because it shows the most economic representation of a subject. Instead of having 600 pages with 6,000 sentences in the textbook, we can represent the pith of those 600 pages on one page if we know how to put it into a matrix. So can you see it has a terrific economical value? The economy of consciousness is here at work, and we only have to know how to read a matrix and how to establish a matrix. Further, a matrix is an aid to remembering the succession of operations. So it's a wonderful memory aid, because a matrix will help us to remember the succession of operations. If you know that the 16 chapters of the textbook are in a matrix form, the only thing we have to remember is that the index is the calculus. The one index is the calculus in the absolute sense, the other is the calculus in a relative sense. You only have to remember absolute calculus, relative calculus, two things you have to remember. If you remember that, you know what the calculus is, and say, well, calculus is work, Christ, Christianity, and science, the one in the absolute sense, the other in the relative sense. And from there you can go on and say, all right, then the matrix is, or the textbook is, 16 point of intersection. See, you only have to remember it's a calculus. The calculus is what? Where, Christ, Christianity, and science, in absolute sense. The calculus in relative, so you have the relative sense on the side, the left-hand side. The point of intersection that are given to from the verticals to the horizontals can be determined then, not by remembering, but by calculating. And so you can determine every value of those 16 point of intersections. Just by knowing the textbook is what? Calculus, absolute relative. You have to remember two things. From there you could, if we know the tones, if we know the tonality of the calculus, from there we can establish the four by four layout, 16 point of intersections. When we have 16 point of intersection, you can say, I can consider every point of intersection in the light of the seven, and you put the seven into every box. You can remember the seven. Can you see, practically you don't need to know anything. Just the tonality of our system of reference, that's all. And you build up and build up and build up, so that when you are on a Robinson Island and you don't have the textbook with you, you have the whole textbook with you. Now, it is once an Australian practitioner told me that a friend of his was learning the textbook by heart, word by word, so that if he passes on, and in case the textbook is not there on the other side, that he has at least the textbook with him. So, we don't need to do that. We just have to know what is the calculus, and what is absolute, and what is relative, what are the synonyms, and we can jolly well re-establish the tonality of the whole textbook. Yeah. So it is, a matrix is an aid to remembering the succession of operations, you see. We can remember with that the whole succession from page 1 to page 600 in the textbook. It needs few symbols. It needs few symbols. It only needs the symbol of a calculus and the symbol of relative and absolute, and then you can elaborate with it. We don't need to have a few symbols. It only needs a few symbols. For instance, a symbol of word, or Christ is a symbol, or calculus is a symbol for us, because it indicates, the symbol calculus indicates word, Christ, Christianity, science. It needs few symbols, as each symbol acquires a special meaning according to the particular box within the grid. See, it needs a few symbols. So if you have the symbol of calculus, This is a matrix built on the calculus. With that symbol, you know the symbol that in the calculus you have the symbol, say, here, Christ. This is not a symbol in the calculus, so it's a sub-symbol in the calculus. It's a Christ. And then you know, when it crosses the word, that Christ becomes the Christ as a word. Or if it crosses the Christ as Christ, it's the Christ as Christ. Or if it crosses, the Christ crosses Christianity, you have the Christ as Christianity. You get new tones. And Christ as science. So each symbol acquires each symbol, like here the word, acquires special meaning, according to its particular box within the grid. The Christ acquires special meaning, Christ as word, Christ as Christ, Christ as Christianity, Christ as science. Each time it varies in tonality a little bit, still remaining the whole tone of Christ. Yes. Another one is, matrices themselves provide a very powerful condensed language in which complicated statements can be expressed simply. And you say, if you speak about the 10th chapter, which is about 80 pages, you can say, I don't tell you 80 pages, I just tell you it is Christianity as the Christ. Can you see? It's a condensed language, a shorthand expression, so to say, of the whole text. How much do you have? Yeah. It aids structure recognition. See, in this way we can actually recognize that the textbook has a structure. It acts as a memory support, we had that, and it acts as a steering mechanism. It steers thought right from the first chapter to the last chapter, in an order way. And I don't have to remember it, I only have to know it's the calculus. And then I can flow.